Luke chapter 2. Maybe we'll begin in verse number 27, speaking of Simeon. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken again. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Maybe we'll stop there. Really, we'd like to just concentrate on verse number 34 and 35, if the Lord would help us. So, you think about this word of God. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. So, the Lord Jesus, what was the plan of God? What was this man? What was the intention of God for Jesus coming into the world? What was the intention? What was God's intention for Christ coming into the world? I believe it's here, right here in these verses, that the Lord Jesus, so let's just think about this. This child is set for. So that word means this, to set, is set. Now, who set this? So the word means this, made or appointed. God made and appointed the Lord Jesus. He had a job to do. So before the foundation of the world, Almighty God had a plan for the salvation of man. That plan included the Lord Jesus Christ coming unto this world. And without the coming of the Son of God, there is no real salvation. I realize that Abraham was saved by faith. You and I are saved by faith. Abraham was looking forward to the promise of God. You and I look back to the promise of God. So the Lord Jesus, by this word of God, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. So God appointed this. It was God who set this plan into action. It was God who appointed and made the Lord Jesus Christ in this sense that he came to the earth. That Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and brought forth the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. But he came as appointment of God, and he was sent here for the fall and the rising again of many. You might look at it like this, that he was come for the fall of many and for the rising of many. Or you might say that he came for the fall and the rising of the same. But I say that this man came that every man is going to fall by this man. There'll be some that'll rise and there'll be a new life. And you know, we'll have to fall and we'll have to rise in this world. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. That's not in this world. No, I tell you, the resurrection in this world is to those that believe in what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to do. So let's think about this. So what did God set this man for? For the fall and rising again of many in Israel. So the Lord set Jesus Christ. He was set before God. He was set before man. He was before a lost and a dying world. The Son of God came to manifest Himself and to manifest the plan of God unto man. So is every man going to fall? Well, I'll say this, that whether we fall in this world or whether we fall in the world to come, that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, that every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ unto the glory of God, that He was the Son of God, and every man is going to confess that He is the Savior. Whether it's confessed out of hell or whether it's confessed in this world, man is going to confess under the glory of God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation that there ever has been or ever will be. But He came, ladies and gentlemen. You know, man is going to fall. Man is going to fall. As you think about this, He is set for the fall and the rising again of many. So that word fall, it means this: the crash, the misery, or the ruin. So you mean that Jesus came to bring man to misery, to crash, to ruin? I believe He came to this world to bring us to the knowledge of our ruin. He came to bring man to the knowledge of his fallenness from God. You see, man thinks that he's just fine. Man thinks that he doesn't need anything from God. But I tell you that God sent Jesus, and He said, Him, friend, that man for the fall and rise again of many in Israel. So man needs to be made aware of his condition before God. How would that be? I tell you, the Lord Jesus came to bring man to the knowledge of his condition before Almighty God. And outside of the revelation, you just think about this. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 21, listen to these words. So Jesus says in verse number 42. Maybe I should back up just a little bit. He's bringing a parable about a man that had a vineyard. Now that man that had the vineyard was the Lord, Almighty God. You know what He did? He let out the vineyard unto men. He let out the vineyard unto people. And friend, that vineyard is this life that you and I have. And He's allowed man for a period of time to watch over his own life. You know what man's going to do? He's going to destroy himself. If man is left to himself, he will destroy himself. If man is not sequestered by God, if God doesn't intervene in a man's life, I tell you what he'll do. He'll die in his sins and go to hell. But the Lord sent a man. The Lord sent His Son to the vineyard one day. And you know what? The people looked over it and they saw the Son coming in verse number 28, Matthew 21, 28. And when the husbandmen saw the Son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come and let us kill him. Let us seize on the inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render unto him the fruits of their seed in their season." And Jesus said, "Did you never read in the Scripture, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, and this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes'"? What did Jesus come to do? I tell you, He came to bring man to a fall. And if man would fall on the Lord Jesus Christ, he could rise again. That's read a little more Matthew. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given unto a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. What's Jesus, what's Simeon saying about Jesus? This child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. So man is going to have to fall on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man Jesus, he's set for this. He's appointed to this place. And friend, that man could see his condition before God. And if man could see his condition before God, you know what he could do? He could fall at the feet of the precious Lamb of God and find mercy. If man could realize that he is fallen, if man could realize that before God there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ, there's no other name given whereby man must be saved but through and by the man, Jesus Christ, through and by His name. So is man going to fall? Yes, man is going to fall. So you think about this, that God set him, that He set him there. You know what He set him to be? He set him to be an offering for my sin. Do you see this? Do you see that Jesus Christ, a man that Pilate could find no fault in? A man that everybody said that He done great miracles. A man that had all these attributes, and He was the only one that they could ever bring that to. Nobody had ever stealed the water at their word. Nobody had ever made the winds and the waters to cease. Nobody had ever given blind sight to a man that was born blind. Nobody had ever raised a man from the dead. And friend, you know this, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. I'll tell you what he was. He was the offering of God set before man as the offering of for my sin and your sin and for the sin of the whole world. He was the offering, that a sacrifice of God set before us. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with this man that is set before us? I tell you that the works of the Son of God have been set before us. Not only in His life, but look at His death. He set Him before us. And you know what He did? Our friend, when He died on the cross, I tell you what we see. We see the fulfilling of Isaiah chapter 53. We see the Scripture fulfilled in this man that is set before us. Here is the Son of God, our friend, led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before His shears. He opened not His mouth. You know what He could have done? He could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have stopped the crucifixion. But I'll say this, He was set for that. For my sin and your sin. And do you know this? That He said this. He said that not one jot or one tittle of the law was going to fall to the ground. He fulfilled it all that's set before us. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God set before us. You know what I ought to do? I ought to fall on this rock. I ought to fall at the feet of this Savior. I ought to, because I tell you what I am. I am condemned. I'll tell you what my life is. Through and by the Word of God, my life is brought into ruin because of my failure to keep the law of God. Can man keep the law? Can you? Listen to what the Bible says. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. If I go over to Isaiah chapter number 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 14. And he shall be a sanctuary. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? Wouldn't you like to have a sanctuary? Well, let me tell you this. That same person, that same person can be a sanctuary to this man, and a stone of stumbling, and a stone to crush to this man. How do we... What do we do with the Lord Jesus Christ? What is our reaction to God setting him before. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They rejected him, didn't they? They turned him away. Oh, I tell you what he was. He was born of fornication in their eyes. That's what they attributed to him. He was a man that was a friend of publicans and a man that hung around with sinners. That's what he was. But you know what he was? Thank God he was a sanctuary. But to the natural mind and to the carnal mind and the man that doesn't need God, I tell you what he is. He's a rock of offense and he's a stone of stumbling. He's here, and I tell you, he's here for this. He's here for the fall and the rise again. He's for the fall. A friend, he is here to bring man down to his knees. He's here to bring man down to the truth. He is here to bring man down to the realization of who he really is before God Almighty. But I say this, that same Savior, that same one that died on the cross, that same one, ladies and gentlemen, that rose from the dead, is going to be the judge in the end. So we'll bow to him and we'll fall and he'll raise us up. Or we'll reject him and he'll fall on us like a millstone. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. So the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can be a sanctuary to one person and be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense unto another. So, you know what he can do for you? I tell you, he can cause you to rise from sin. Through and by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can be raised from the dead. Dead. You know where man is, honest to God truth. I realize man doesn't believe it, and he doesn't think it is true, but man is dead in his trespasses and sin, and as far as God is concerned, outside of Jesus Christ, you are dead. You don't exist. Outside of Jesus Christ, you don't exist. But by the Word of God, by the mercy of God, by the plan of God, He sent the gospel to raise the dead. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to raise the dead. Man thinks he's just going to prance into the kingdom of God and tell God all about it. You can't even get in to see the sheriff. You couldn't get in to see the county commissioner, and we're going to bounce into the presence of God without an invitation, and we're going to march into heaven and never be saved. I'll say this, that the Lord Jesus Christ came that you and I could be raised from the dead. But man has to be made aware how dead that he really is. We're dead in trespasses and sin. We've sinned against God. How many times would you say you have sinned? I'll make it easier. How many times would you say you've sinned in the last year? Well, how many times have you sinned in the last month? You can't put a number on it, can you? You can't even imagine how many times that you've sinned. You know, it wasn't that you sinned against me. It wasn't that you sinned against your wife or your husband. But know this. Know this. Above all of them and above all the people in the world that we might have sinned against, we sinned against God. How in the world is a man going to ever be recovered from sins that are so innumerable that he couldn't even name them or couldn't put a number on them? He came for the fall and rise again of many. He can raise us from the dead. I tell you, he can raise us from death. He can raise us from our failures. Thank God he can raise us from our failure to keep the law. He stood in my place when I was unable to stand. Oh, friend, when I am unable to stand and never will be able to stand, thank God we've got a propitiation. Jesus Christ is the covering for my sin and for your sin and for the sin of the whole world. And to them that believe it, you know what he'll be? He'll be a sanctuary. And to them that don't believe it, he'll be a rock of offense. And he'll be a rock to crush us to powder. The same one. You know, I would say this. There's a lot of mothers and daddies here. And I'd say that same mother and daddy that held their child in their arms and loved them and was so tender unto them, that same one took a belt and wore them out. Right? Is there another side to God besides love? Is there a side of God that's wrathful? Is there a side of God who created and made hell? Is there a side of God who is a consuming fire? Which side do you want? The love and the mercy? Well, let me tell you this, that God poured His wrath out on Jesus Christ that you could be saved. He poured His wrath out on the Son of God that you and I might fall at the feet of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and yield ourselves unto Him. But you know, if you won't admit, if you won't never come down, you'll never be able to get up. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. You know, if He brought us out of darkness into the light. I believe He says in Colossians, we were in the kingdom of darkness. He says that in Ephesians as well. But He says in Colossians, you who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know what you could do? I tell you what, we could fall in darkness and rise in light. As Cotton said, He put a light on the inside. And friend, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ came for the fall and the rise of many. So as you think about this, this is what He says in Romans chapter number 10. Is there any man can live up to it? Will we ever be able to satisfy God? So you know what we have today? We have this. We have life and death. And friend, you can choose life and live. But it, Moses said, I set before you this day life and death. And he said it like this in one place. He said, do these things and you shall live. I ask you today, how many of you have done what God says? I'll just say, I'll be first to admit, okay? I have not done all that God said. But if I'm going to get in by works, I'm going to have to do all that God said. Romans 10 and 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Can you do them? Can you live by the law? Can you do what God said? Well, I say this. If you can't number how many sins you've committed in the last month or the last week or the last day, then you can't do what God said. But he says this, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend unto heaven," that is to bring Christ down from above, "or who shall descend into the deep," that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. "But what saith it? Thy word, the word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart," that is the word of faith which we preach. What are we preaching? I tell you this, the only thing that there is to preach is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other means of salvation except for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is what brings man to the fall, and the Word of God is what brings man to a resurrection. A friend, he says in Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. "For as many as are the works of the law, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things." Did you notice that? That I have to do everything that God said. "Cursed is every man which continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Isn't that wonderful? That you've got a choice. And you know what the choice is? The choice is you can live by your works, and you can live by the law, or you can live by this. You can live by the faith in the Son of God who died in your place and fulfilled the law and set everything that was set before him. He fulfilled it and he accomplished it and he did all that God wanted him to do, and there wasn't anything left. He was a complete covering for the law of God. And friend, you and I, if we're under the law, we're going to fail. But if we're under grace and we're under faith, you know what we can do? We can fall at the feet of the precious Lamb of God, and we can find mercy there. And grace to help in the time of need. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. So the Lord Jesus died in our place. And he is... This child is set for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and for a sign. So that word there, listen to this. For a sign which shall be spoken against. And he said to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pass through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So, what was going to happen? I tell you, the Son of God came to this world to reveal my heart. That's what he came to do. So, he was distinguished. That word sign, it means a token or something to distinguish, to authenticate. So was the Lord Jesus the real thing? According to Paul in Acts chapter 17, I believe it is, God raised him from the dead. The firstborn from among the dead. Right? Was he the real thing? Do you think that what Jesus did was satisfactory to fulfill all of the law? If it had not been, he would have not been able to rise from the dead. There would have been sin. Was there any sin? Was there one sin? Was there a little sin? There was no sin. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." But let me tell you this, there was a greater inspection made than Pilate. Almighty God made an inspection. And friend, Almighty God inspected the sacrifice. God inspected the offering. And friend, on the third and appointed day, I believe that was there. This like that it was said in the gospel, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. The Son of God was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But know this, friend, that was there for a sign for you and I. A distinguished, a sign that would be spoken again. You know why God left him there for 3 days and three nights? Friend, there would be no question. This man was dead. He died in my place. He died in your place. He died to fulfill the law of God. He died as a sacrifice and an offering for my sin and your sin. And on Sunday morning, Almighty God raised him from the dead. I tell you, what a sign that God has given us. Spoken against everywhere. While he was here, and from that time to this, you can talk about any God you want to talk about, just don't talk about the living God. You can talk about all your dead gods. You can talk about you being a god. You can talk about Muhammad. You can talk about Buddha. You can talk about whoever you want to. But don't you be mentioning Jesus Christ to me. I'll tell you why that is. Because when the pricking of the Holy Ghost comes to a heart of man. He was here, friend, from the fall and the rising again of many. And man is still having to fall. Why our world hates Christianity today? Because the Word of God comes and opens and reveals our heart. He said to Mary, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Now you could look at that naturally, or we could look at it spiritually. I'll say this, that contrary to what belief may be, Mary was not an innocent woman. Mary was not a sinless woman. Mary was not a woman that I need to go to, that I look to. I'll tell you what she did. There was an offering made for her. Why was there an offering made for her? Because she was a sinner. So we could look at it naturally and we could say, well, when she was at the cross, when she was at the cross and there hung her son on the cross, no doubt a sword pierced through her soul. But I believe this was what pierced through even the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit pierced her heart. She was a sinner in need of a Savior too. This is what the Bible says. I'm going to read verse 34 and 35 and I'm going to leave out the parentheses, okay? And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know why man wants to rail against the church? Because there's something there to reveal the heart. If there's no Spirit of God, no Word of God, I promise you this, that church, so-called, will prosper in this world. But if there's the Spirit of God, and there's the sword of the Lord, and there is that pricks the heart, I tell you what, there won't be too many people go there. Because this Word of God, this Lord Jesus Christ, is here to reveal the hearts of man. Listen to what he says. He says in Hebrews chapter number 4, I believe. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, verse 12. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Now what did Simeon say was going to pierce through Mary's heart? Mary's soul. A sword. For the Word of God is quicker and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What was the white horse rider? What was going on with him? He had a sword coming out of his mouth, didn't he? The Word of God. The Word of God. That Word of God pierces the heart of man. That word of God reveals unto man that he's a sinner. That word of God comes by and pierces the heart and allows man to realize who he is before God. I'm going to rail against that. That's a bunch of nuts down there. That's too much. That's uncalled for. You know what the real problem is? The real problem is God revealing our hearts. The real problem is God revealing that we're lost and undone. The real problem is the Lord Jesus Christ comes by, and by the sword of the Spirit of God, He comes by and He pierces our heart. Know this, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not saved today, then God Almighty God has created a place called hell for all the unbelievers. And we might blow that off. And we might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, know this, that the Lord Jesus came to reveal the heart. If you've got a heart that's hardened and you're an unbeliever, if you've got a heart and you're a pretender, if you've got a heart and you're deceived, if you've got a heart and you've never surrendered unto the Spirit and the power of Almighty God, He's here to reveal that unto you. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So, can I ask you this? What was your intent in coming to church today? Just rake back all of the fluff and stuff. Rake back all of the fluff. Why did you come? Did you come to hear anything from God? Did you come to really know how it is between you and God? Or did you come to satisfy somebody? Did you come to pretend? Did you come to put on a show? Did you come to show everybody how good you are? What was your intent? The Word of God is able to get to the intent. The Word of God is able to get to our inward thoughts. The Word of God is able to reveal. I mean, you talk about dividing between the joint, the bone, and the joint between the bone and the marrow. I tell you, He's getting to the inside of man, isn't He? The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to reveal the heart of man. You know what man wants to do? He wants to get rid of Jesus. It's no different today than it was in 33 A.D., man wants to get rid of Jesus today because Jesus brings condemnation on me. Jesus reveals unto me that I'm a sinner. If God Almighty crucified His Son, I wonder why am I not saved today? Wonder why in the world that I'm as good as I think I am and God Almighty killed His Son. It must be that we're not as good as we think we are. It must be that we're deceived because Jesus came to reveal the heart of man, that man could be saved. So He came for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know who's going to have to fall? The self-righteous are going to have to fall. The religious are going to have to fall. The sinners are going to have to fall. The deceived are going to have to fall. We're all going to have to fall. Mankind, just think with me, folks. That in the last day, the great day of God, everyone that is unsaved is going to fall. It'll be too late to ask for mercy then. It'll be too late to cry out then. It'll be too late to call on the Lord then. As Cotton said this morning, today, now is the time of salvation. Today is the day. So, what shall we do? He said in Peter chapter number 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. You know, that's exactly what man wants. Man doesn't want to be humble. Oh no. But I promise you this, we're going to be like a Naaman. If we ever get cured, and we get brought into the house of God, you know what? A leper can't go into the house of God. If Naaman was going to go into the house of God, he was going to have to be cured. You know what the Bible said about Naaman? Then went he down. Peter says, humble yourselves and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth. You know something? That's like an army against you. If God is against you, will you prosper? You know, let's just think about it like this. Here I am, my size. So let's say I come against Larry. Larry's a little bigger fellow than me. Can I come against Larry and overpower him? Not likely. Can I overpower Kevin? Not likely. Can I overpower these young men that are stronger and stouter than I can? Not likely. Am I going to overpower God? Humble yourself before God. For God resisteth. God is against the proud. But God gives mercy to the humble. You know, I could get my eyes beat out and recover from that. If I go against God, am I going to recover from that? I can fall on this stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be crushed. I can be humble. Or I can hold my head up. And I can stay in pride. And I can go out of this world lost and undone, and that stone is going to fall on me and crush me to powder. Peter says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Isn't that what he's saying in Luke? He came for the fall. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. He's going to make us fall, and He's going to raise us up. I don't know whether I believe that or not. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It doesn't change God. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus died for your sins. It doesn't change the fact that you're going to stand before God, and every man's going to give an account unto God. He's going to judge the world by this man whom He raised from the dead. I'm going to read you a little scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said in verse 12, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, you know how man is going to have a revelation of what he is through the gospel. Man is going to have his heart revealed through the gospel. Through the Word of God, God is going to reveal unto me what I am and my condition. Paul went down to Troas to preach the gospel. And he said, I came to Troas to preach the Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of him, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and to make manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You know what the Lord's out to do? I tell you, this is what God's going to do. God is going to reveal and make you aware of your condition. Okay? God is going to make you aware through the gospel, through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ dying for my sins and your sin. And if we were all, if He died for all, then we were all dead. He's making man know that. That we could come to that knowledge that I'm lost and undone without God. That I've never been saved. Is everybody going to be saved? No. I say this by the word of God that hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure to take those in that have no knowledge. Could the word of God come and I ignore it? Could the pleading of the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and me leave the house of God lost and undone? Paul says, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph and to make manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Now remember what he was there to do. He was there to preach Christ's gospel. So Christ's gospel is going to condemn me or condone me. I'm either going to be found guilty and lost and undone, or I'm going to be found having my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted with God because of Christ. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. So Paul, what's Paul's job? All right, let's go back to what's Jesus' job. Jesus' job was to bring, to cause. He was set before of God for the fall and rising again of many in Israel and reveal the condition of the heart. What's Paul's job? Paul's job is to preach Jesus. And Jesus is going to reveal the condition of man's heart. And man is going to fall and come humble and be saved, or man is going to resist and reject what the Lord Jesus done. But know this, that Paul, in the sight of God, is a sweet-smelling savor. Now, does it please God for everybody to die and go to hell? It pleases God to save. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. You know who's going to be responsible for dying and going to hell? Man. Man is going to be responsible. You know what? We're living in a world today that nobody wants to take any responsibility. It all wants to be passed off on somebody. It's always somebody else's to blame. Know this. You die and go to hell, it'll be your fault. If you get saved, all glory, honor, praise goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said this. He said, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? I'll say this. I'm not the man. I'm not the man to judge. I'm not the man that makes the decision. I'm not the one that decides who gets saved and who dies lost. But you know what my job is? To tell you about Jesus that came that you could be saved. He came for the fall and the rising again of many. I say this, there was a man named Naaman. You know what he did? He fell. Thank God he got up. And the Bible said that his flesh was like that of a little baby.
I read about, friend, multitudes. I read about a man, a friend, that went to Jerusalem one day. And friend, he went down there to Jerusalem, probably spent 7 or 8, 9, 10 days there. And he left there and he was a treasurer down in Ethiopia. Didn't know anything about God, but I tell you what he did. He come down from his chariot. A friend fell at the mercy and the favor of Almighty God. Through him by the Lord Jesus Christ. I will tell you what he did. He raised him up. You know what you can do? You can fall prostrate at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can fall, a friend, condemned of your sin, and you can be raised to a new life. But if you refuse to fall, there'll be no raising. No raising unless you're willing to fall first. There's no resurrection but to those that are dead. Preacher, I need a revival. No, you don't need a revival. I tell you what you're going to do with a revival. You're going to raise the same old man that you started with. You're going to get back on the do better list again. You're going to be dealing with the same fella you started with. But I tell you, the Lord didn't come for revival. The Lord came for a resurrection. And he came for the fall and the rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, man is going to be, his heart is going to reveal. Through and by the Word of God, God's going to reveal a man's heart. Anything on your heart today, anything need to be said or done? What do you think Jesus came to do for you? Did he come to do anything for you? Anything for you? All hearts and minds clear. Being here. Remember our service this evening? Remember folks that are sick? I believe John Wayne and me are better. They said they'd like to stay out just another few days just so nobody would be scared to death of them or not wanting to be here. Remember Beth, she's sick. Brad and his family are sick. Remember Kenneth Wynn's, pray. Darren's mother, Cotton's wife. A lot of folks that are sick, I'd ask you to remember them. Most of all, people that are lost and undone. Anything in your heart you need to say or do. Thank you for being here. All hearts and minds clear. Chris, you dismiss us, please.